Really? Now, see, look at people look at Hitler's memory and they say, oh, gee, you know, what a bad memory we have of him. Do you think he cares? And some people think he's being tortured somewhere. No, he's just dead in the ground. He's dead. He's out. His thoughts have perished. He doesn't even know people hate him anymore. He doesn't know people once loved him. He doesn't know anything. It's all passed away. So while you're living, if you know you're going to die, it's better to enjoy. And what Paul's saying is, I'm risking my life proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the dead don't rise, why am I doing this? Why should I do this? Why should I go out and risk my neck for the sake of something that's hopeless? Not that that's a proof, but it's like, but the point is, there are a lot of things he could do, you know, he could be enjoying life while he has life, if he's just going to die. Why live, you know, I know some people would say, and I've run into these people, they don't believe in God, but they say, well, living good is good to live. I mean, it's good to live uprightly for its own sake. I do agree to an extent that, yeah, but also not without being unupright. You know what I mean? What Paul is doing, he's sticking out his neck and enduring persecution for the sake of this, which he believes. The resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's not saying necessarily, I want to go and sin. What he's saying is, I'd like to not do this. If it's not true, why do I stand in jeopardy for it? Why, you know, I face death every day. You know? I've fought with beasts. You know, he's referring to the men as far as they're being in a beast-like character. If the dead don't rise, what's the advantage? Why struggle with these guys? Why wrestle with these guys? I could just go and enjoy my life. Why, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean don't do good, but what it means is like, well, don't bring evil on yourself. Why go around proclaiming the dead rise if the dead rise not? Enduring the scorn, enduring the persecution? You know? So, he has, you know, this mentality where it's like, if this isn't true, why should, then I probably should not go out and do things that bring evil on me. Because that's what it does. It brings evil on you. Might as well just live your life. You know? Enjoy your life. You know, if the dead rise not, why spend time doing Bible studies? Why not just enjoy a good movie? Why spend time studying the scriptures? Why not just do something you enjoy? Because even if I do enjoy studying the scriptures, but if there's no purpose in it, I'd really rather spend my time doing something else. If it's just a lie, I'd really like to know, you know? So, what he's saying is that, you know, this is critical. The resurrection of the dead is critical. Verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Again, what it's saying is evil communications, I mean, communications is companionship, intercourse, who you hang out with. You know, hanging out with the wrong crowd, so to speak, it will corrupt good manners, which is good behavior. Not like, oh, please and thank you. No, no. What it means is your good manners of living, your way of life, your moral habits, it'll change you. If you hang around with people that are drinking all the time, it can have an effect. I'm not saying it must have an effect, but don't be deceived. It does do it. Oh, it does it. And you hang around with people who use foul language, pretty soon, gosh, there you go, you're using foul language, right? Because it's their way of, you know, that's their, you know, if you spend a lot of time with them, that's what happens. I find that every time I you know, certain time of year comes around, I'm hanging around with certain people because of, basically because of my kids, you know, and all of a sudden, my manner of speech changes. Just a little bit. But I'm not unaware. So don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. Don't fall asleep. That's another thing. Because he says, awake to righteousness. You can just fall asleep at the wheel and start living your life. Eating and drinking, marrying, giving marriage, planting and sowing, building and reaping and doing all the normal things of life, you know, hammering and nailing. And I guess I think of those things as I build, I clean, I straighten, I repair, you know, all of manners of life. They're neutral, just like eating and drinking is neutral. Until that's just what, when it totally consumes you, it's the evil you live in. It's the evil time you live in. When it engrosses your life so that you cannot, you know, see God. You cannot be touched with the feeling of His Spirit, with His, you know, with His righteousness being poured out on you, with His knowledge being given to you, you know, and to have time to seek that and to immerse yourself in it. These things get in the way and they prevent us from spending our lives pursuing the resurrection. Because that's what we're pursuing. We're pursuing a resurrection. I want to be raised in newness of life even now, but I'm also pursuing the resurrection of my body, which is yet future. There's something out there I want to know. I want to take hold of. It's not out there. You know, talk about it that way, because that's the way we think of it. It's different from us, but it's right near us. It is even in our hearts. Awake to righteousness. I love the way the apostles speak. Awake to righteousness. Today, that call needs to be made because the Christianity we live in doesn't really believe in righteousness anymore. Righteousness is sort of something, that's something Jesus had. We aren't righteous. And though I be not righteousness, I need to wake up to it. I need to eat and drink Christ. I need to eat and drink righteousness and sin not. Why would all these scriptures in the New Testament tell us, don't sin, sin not, cease from sin, abstain from fleshly lust, add to your faith virtue. You know, all these things, don't sin.